Let's open our Bibles to Psalm number 38. Psalm 38. That's just going to be our starting place, and that's also where we'll be taking all of our main points. Psalm number 38. Today we're going to be talking about hearing, for one thing. And in Psalm 38, we'll just read four verses here. And then we'll begin to search the scriptures a little bit together. Psalm number 38, beginning in verse number 12. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do pray that you'll really speak to our hearts today. Help us, Lord, to try to get some control over this tongue that we have, to get control over the things that we say to others, and Lord, help us to look to you for our strength. Help us, Lord, not to depend upon our own strength, but to always be looking to you, trusting you to help us in each situation we find ourselves in, that we might act and react appropriately. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, the temptation among people, and I didn't say saved people, I didn't say lost people, I just said people. The temptation is to allow the heart to be filled with wrong sorts of thoughts, the wrong sorts of attitudes, the wrong sorts of feelings. And if that weren't bad enough, what happens a lot of times is that the old floodgates of this mouth open up and some things come out that were down there in that heart. And lo and behold, we find before we even know it that we have spoken something that hurt somebody's feelings and caused great damage. Now, the Lord Jesus, he said, it is impossible but that offenses shall come. He said also, for it must needs be that offenses come. Now, we're going to see in a minute from the scriptures, we're going to look, that if you were able to speak nothing but good words, if you were able to speak nothing but words that would edify and uplift and bless those that you were speaking to, you would be a sinlessly perfect individual. Well, let me tell you, there's one of those, and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So what that means is that I am going to live my life surrounded by people who are going to say things and do things which will hurt me. They're going to say things which will rub me the wrong way, who are going to say things which bother me and upset me. And thank God, since that is the truth, according to the Word of God, the Lord has told me in the Bible how to deal with that. He's told me in the Bible how I ought to respond to those sorts of things. There used to be a saying, probably still is, I don't know, but I'm sure most of you here, you knew it when you were children. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. I don't know if you've taught that to your children or not, but if you haven't, please don't. If you have, you should apologize to your child, because that's one of the biggest lies that's ever been told, because names do hurt. Mocking words do hurt. Taunts and slanders and lies and deceit and talebearing and gossip, it does hurt. If it didn't, well, Satan wouldn't make such great use of it, but he does. If talebearing, if slander, if gossip, if tales told out of place, if they did not do damage to people, that devil wouldn't make such a big thing out of getting people to do those sorts of things. But they do hurt, and they do wound, and they do divide, and they do cause offenses, and they do bring about problems. Words express feelings. I wish this wasn't true, but you know, the more you learn this Bible, that there's a very fine line between those feelings and what comes out of your mouth. There's many a Christian who learns so much about the Bible that he's just decided he can't go to church anymore. He couldn't get along with the people anymore. He didn't want anything to do with Christians anymore, because all the things he learned in the Bible about people, for example, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Someone says, oh, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean what I said. Well, you did mean it. It came right straight from your heart, and it came through your mouth. You just didn't mean to let it slip out. See? And you read in the Bible, and the Bible says, all men are liars. The Bible says there's no man that can bridle his tongue. The Bible says everybody is seeking his own way. And you say, man, I can't win. If that's the way it's going to be, just forget it. And you learn from the Bible how to have nothing to do with people anymore. Then there's the man that wants to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on and he learns from the Bible. Okay, fine. I'm living in a sinful world. I'm a sinful man. I'm surrounded by sinful people. How do I do what Jesus did and live in this present evil world without sin? Amen. Let's see if we can find out. Listen, every guy you sit and talk to on the front porch at his house, he says, I just don't go to church anymore because of all the hypocrites. Well, he's the biggest hypocrite in the whole bunch. Amen. I just don't go to church anymore because people talk about other people. You know, it's an amazing thing to me. Sometimes you get it up to here with people criticizing people for being critical. They criticize people for criticizing people. Sometimes you have it up to here with people talking about people because those people talk about people. Well, what are you doing? And they are fed up with people complaining about people complaining, with people griping about people that gripe. And you're doing that very thing. Listen, you cannot condemn others without condemning yourself. We all came out of the same litter. We all nursed at the same breast. We all have the same blood flowing through our veins. We all have the same nature. Amen. You know, well, I don't mind speaking out against Billy Graham and the Pope, but man, that guy spoke out against me, and I'm a fundamentalist. The Bible says, speak evil against no man. What we take that to mean is the Bible says, hey, don't speak evil of me. But they're going to do it. They are going to do it. People are going to speak evil against you. They are going to say things about you to hurt your feelings. They're going to say things that offend you. And let me say one more thing. The greater our love and our care for someone, the greater our hurt is going to be over the unkind words that come from their mouth. Listen, let's say you're out there in public somewhere. Bunch of people, you don't know who they are, and somebody rides by and gives you the finger or says something about your wife. That really doesn't bother you because you don't know who they are. You don't care anything about them. But when it's your wife who does it to you, or your husband, or your son, or your daughter, or your mother, or your father, or somebody that you go to church with, they say something hurtful, it really hurts. You love that person. You care for that person. And hey, that's the devil's work. This little thing right here, this tongue, never mind the Vatican, never mind the Communist Party, never mind the atheist, that little tongue right there has done more damage than any of the all that stuff combined. But it's only because we allow it. It's only because we allow it. You know, nobody, think about this, nobody was cursed at more than Jesus. Nobody was reviled more than Jesus. Nobody was lied about more than Jesus. Nobody was misrepresented more than Jesus. And not one time did the sins of others provoke Jesus to sin. He did not respond improperly one time all the days that he was on the face of this earth. All right, look at this passage we read. Look in verse 13 and 14. Verses 13 and 14. Look at the first half of each verse. But I, as a deaf man, heard not. Okay, verse 14. Thus I was as a man that heareth not. What was the response of this psalmist? What was the response of the Lord Jesus Christ? He simply chose not to hear. Now, that doesn't mean that the words didn't fall upon his ears. Of course they did. It didn't mean that the sound waves didn't strike his eardrums and he didn't record in his mind what was said. But Jesus, remember what he taught? He said, take heed how ye hear. He said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And let these sayings sink down into your ears. Amen? Now, all of you have been to school. Okay, let me ask you something. The second week on Wednesday of the fifth grade, what did your teacher teach you? What did she say? You don't know, do you? You heard it, though. You heard it. But it wasn't important enough for you to take it down into your heart and hide it there and leave it there because it meant nothing to you. You were not concerned with it. So yeah, you heard it. You took note of it, but then you passed it on and forgot all about it. Amen. Now, I can't remember half of what was said in all of the classrooms that I've sat in. I couldn't remember 1% of what was said. I have no idea what was said. Do you know why? I heard it, but I didn't let the sayings sink down into my heart. Okay, let me give you another example. Some of you have heard me preach at least 2 times a week for 3 or 4 years. You don't have the slightest idea what I've taught from the Bible. Now, you heard it, but it wasn't important enough for it to sink down into your heart and take root there. Listen, you can't help what strikes your ear, but you make a decision. You determine what you are going to allow to take place in your heart and abide there. We all do that. And all these little hurt feelings, all these little divisions, and all these little grudges and gripes, and all these little breaks in the fellowship, you know where they come from? They came because you chose to allow something that was said to take place in your heart, and it never should have. And the Bible warns you about a root of bitterness springing up and bearing fruit in your life. Listen, you can't keep the seeds of discord from falling on your ears. You can't keep the seeds of disharmony from falling on your ears. That's the devil's work, and he doesn't take a break. But you don't have to help him by allowing those things to sink down into your heart and take up lodging there. Amen. I mean, listen, do you know what Jesus was doing on the cross? He was shedding his blood for everybody who ever lied about him. He was shedding his blood for everybody who ever said that his mother had brought an illegitimate child into the world. He was shedding his blood for everybody that ever said that he had a devil. He was shedding his blood for everybody that ever called him a friend of publicans and sinners and a wine bibber. He was shedding his blood for everybody who ever gossiped about him, ever lied about him, ever called him a name. He went to that cross and he laid down his life for them. You know why? Because he didn't allow whatever fell on his ears to fall into his heart and change that love that he had there. It's a decision. It's a conscious decision that we make. You know, I've told you before, I go to work, and every day on that job, those guys, man, they're rough. They're making some kind of filthy remarks every day. They're telling some kind of a dirty story, and I think sometimes they do it just to see my reaction, to see if I get offended. They do it all the time. So you know what I do? I just say, yeah, big deal. What do I care? Now, I could go to the boss man and say, well, that's it. I quit. I'm not working here anymore because they don't respect my religion. And they call me names and they said bad things about me. I'm not coming to work anymore. Just forget it. No way, man. I want that paycheck. I need it. So I hear what I hear and it bounces off. I don't let it sink down into my heart. I don't let it bother me. I want to win those guys to the Lord Jesus Christ someday. I'm not going to get in a fight with them or argue with them because they call me a name or because they use rude language in my presence. That's all they know to do. You know what it means? Or do you know what I want? I want to see God build a lighthouse here. I want to see God bless. I want to see him change lives here. I want to see God pour out his Holy Spirit here. And so what am I going to do? Do I say, that's it, I quit? He said he didn't like religious people. I don't have to listen to that. Yeah, really? So what? In one ear, out the other. Don't let it sink down into the heart. All right, look in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Just start in the Psalms, then go to Proverbs, and the next book will be Ecclesiastes. And this is a great passage of scripture here, Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 20. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. And this verse here, it's written about me and you. Ecclesiastes 7:20. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? You do, don't you? I mean, you know that's right. There's not one man, there's not one woman, there's nobody here among us who's not a sinner. There's nobody here that does everything right. There's nobody here that everything you say is always right. There's not one just man here. There's not one just person here that doesn't sin. Okay, that being true, how dare I get mad and indignant and bow up and break the ties when I find out that you're a sinner? Of course you're a sinner. The Bible says so. We all came from the same litter, friends. We all got the same blood in us. Now, because we are sinners, look at verse 21. Also, take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. How about that? You know what the Lord said? Do you know what the Holy Bible says? If you listen carefully enough, you know what you're going to hear? You're going to hear people that work together with you serving Jesus Christ. You're going to hear them talk bad about you behind your back. If you listen carefully enough, you will hear people you sit with in church say bad things about you. And if you listen carefully enough, you'll hear the person that you were handing out gospel tracts with and knocking on doors with say something about you. If you listen carefully enough. So what do you do when you hear somebody badmouth you and they don't know that you heard what they said? I mean, they're real nice to you when they see you, but you know they're just being a hypocrite. They got two faces. Well, you could just quit and say they don't appreciate me around here. But what do? Well, you got to make up your mind and say, I am not going to take heed to all the words that are spoken. So I heard a fellow servant curse me. Look at verse 22. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. How about that? Is it true? Okay, isn't it right? I mean, haven't you spoken about the way people dress sometimes? Haven't you said things about the way people look? Haven't you turned to your husband, turned to your wife and said, hey, do you see Brother Bob's face today? What's wrong with it? Haven't you said something about the way people sing? Haven't you said things about preachers? Haven't you said things about song leaders? Haven't you said things about the way people raise their children? Haven't you said things about people's accent or the way they talk? You know you have. Hey, so according to the Word of God, if you are going to give it out, you better be willing to take it. If Jesus, who never gave it out, never said anything about anybody, if he took it, how dare I, who gives it out all the time, how dare I not take it when it comes my way? Amen. Did you ever do this when you were kids? Did you ever hold your thumb and your index finger up like that in the shape of a C? Okay. Well, I'll teach you something. You'll learn something today. This will stick with you if you remember this. Somebody says something bad about you. Here it comes. You hold up your hand like that. Here's what it does. That bad word, that bad saying, it comes in, it enters your thumb, it curves around and goes right back out towards them. Never hits you. Never gets to your brain, never gets to your ear, never gets to your heart. Now you say, well, that's childish. You know, well, let me tell you what else is childish then. Sticking your poochie lip out like this and picking up your ball in your glove because they said something about the way you swing the bat in the baseball game hurt your feelings. Well, I heard somebody say they didn't like the way I sang that song, so I'm going to go to another church. You big baby, you're going to be in that church for 2 weeks. You know it's true, because you know what you're going to find when you get into your new church? Sinners that talk about people. And when you get there, you're just going to be one more to add to them. I don't like the way he talks about people. You know what I think about the way he talks about people? No, go ahead and tell me. Talk about him. Talk about him. What are you doing? Okay? Am I right? I'm telling the truth. The Bible says you have got no right to get upset when people say unkind things about you because you say unkind things about people. You know that you do. See, what we want to be a sinner in a righteous world. We want everybody that we associate with to do right, but we don't make the same demands upon ourselves. And that's crooked. Amen. If you're like me, you work with somebody. This is just an example. at your job, you're picturing somebody in your mind who basically gets paid for just showing up and spending 8 hours waiting to go home, and no work gets done by that person. In fact, you probably get more work done when that person is not there than when they are there. There's people, I got a guy in my mind, I can see him. Okay, and so that being the case, there have probably been times when you have commented about that person or made a joke about that guy being as useless as a snow shovel in Kuwait. And so then what happens? Then that person that you said something about, the word's going to get back to him, of course, and he's going to be watching you to try and prove that he's no worse than you are. And the one time that he finds you taking a break or slacking off for a minute on a bad day or something, he's going to give you a hard time. What do you do? All you can do if that happens, all you can do is laugh about it. But that's what you got coming. Now, you know something? You know as well as I do that you sit around the living room or out on the veranda or wherever you relax with your family, out on the beach, whatever, and you talk about preachers or you talk about church people all day long. Okay, you know you do. Don't lie to me. You do. So how dare you get bent out of shape when somebody says something about you? Okay, so that's Ecclesiastes chapter 21 verses, or chapter 7 verses 20 to 22. Amen. Sometimes, you know, I got to put asbestos on my ears. I'm just because my ears get to burning when people don't like something that they heard me say, and so they start griping about me. But think about it. You know, we put all these teaching lessons, all these preaching sermons out there on the World Wide Web, and there's going to be liberal people who might give a listen once or twice, probably not three times. And they will hear Brother Bob saying, this guy's wrong here, this guy's wrong here, this is a false doctrine here, this is a false doctrine there. And if somebody hears that and wants to go out and tell somebody, hey, Brother Bob, he's a crackpot, what am I going to do? I got it coming because I did say those things, right? When you go out on a street corner and you say, you people are sinners, you need to repent, you need to get right with God. Well, the people you're talking to, they have every right to yell back at you, why don't you get a job? Amen. If you're standing out there and you're yelling at them, how dare you get upset when they yell back at you? You know, I'm not going back there anymore because they yelled at me. You know, and oh, what are you doing? You're standing out there yelling at them. Do you think some fellow who just picked up his neighbor's wife heading out for a date, you think he likes to hear you stand out there on a corner yelling, be sure your sin will find you out? What's he going to do? You think he's going to throw you a coin and say, thanks, buddy, I'll be back next week to hear what you have to say? No. But we're just so funny, though. We're about as thin-skinned as rice paper, I tell you. All right, James chapter 3. Now, I apologize to those of you that are here and you thought I was going to preach something that you could apply to your life. But, well, there's some of us here that really need this message, myself included. God help that person that thinks it's somebody else. God help you. James chapter 3, verse number 1. Watch carefully. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Okay? The more people that you're influencing, the more people that know you, the more people that are aware of you, the more people you're going to have criticizing you, because that's what people do. They criticize. Amen? You say, boy, I wish I pastored a church of 1,000 people because I could get away from all this little gossip and this little back talk here in this small church. No, you know what you'd have? You'd have 100 times more of it. Just ask a pastor of one of those big churches if he has any problems in his church. He'll tell you, I got 634 problems in my church. And that's how many church members I've got. Amen. Because people are problems, man. We live with people. All right, James chapter 3, verse 1. Let's read verse 1 again. Be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. Okay, did you get that? There's not one of us here that doesn't offend somebody at one time or another. Amen. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. The devil will use this tongue quicker than he'll use anything else. The closest that you will ever get to hell is when you get in a group of people just gossiping and tearing down their brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the fire of hell broke loose on earth. As close as you'll ever get to it anyway. Amen. And he says this in verse 6. He says it defiles the whole body. That's not the physical body. That's the body of Christ. The body of Christ is defiled by improper use of the tongue. Verse number 7. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now listen to this. Here you are in a little boat out in the middle of this great gale storm out on the ocean, and yet you can control that thing. It can be controlled. Here's this great and mighty horse, and yet with just a little bit that you put in his mouth and a rein that you hold in your hand, you can guide that big horse. You can control it. Okay? And here's this great elephant over here, and it can be trained. You can get under his foot and have him hold that foot over your chest, and he won't squash you. You can train him to do that. Okay? Here's this lion, the king of the jungle. And there's a man in the cage with him, and all he's got is a little whip, and he's got that lion under control. He's got it tamed. Here's this cobra snake, and this fella is sitting there playing his flute, and the cobra is just doing what that man wants it to do. And all those things are tamed, and yet you talk to the lion tamer, you talk to the snake charmer, you talk to the captain of that ship, you know what you're going to find out? He can control the cobra, he can control the lion, he can control that ship in the storm, but he can't control his own tongue. That little thing you got in your mouth is the most rebellious, most incredibly undisciplined thing in God's universe. Amen. You say, Brother Bob, I want to go to one of those churches where they're really full of the Holy Ghost, and man, they can handle those rattlesnakes. I'll tell you a church that's really full of the Holy Ghost. It's the one where they can handle their tongue. Amen. It's easier to handle your tongue than it is to handle a rattlesnake. You would think so. But man, you talk about a spirit-filled church. You talk about Holy Ghost power. Think about going to a church where everybody has control of their tongue and uses it for the glory of God and the glory of God only. Wouldn't that be something? Amen. Like to see that. Sad to say, verse number 9, the Bible says, therewith, that means with that tongue we've been talking about, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Isn't that the truth? That is the truth. You sit down at the dinner table. God, we thank you for your many blessings. God, we pray that you would bless this food, strengthen our bodies. And Lord, as we enjoy dissecting the pastor's sermon this afternoon, we just hope that you won't listen because you're not going to like what we're about to say. In Jesus' name, amen. The same mouth that blesses God over the food will curse God's people while they're eating that food. Amen. The same mouth that will come to church and sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," on the way home will say, "Oh, how I don't love Jesus' children." Now that's the truth. You know it's true. So be forewarned when it hits, when it comes your way. Just let it go. Let it go. When you go to your job every day, you might not have a choice. You might have to be in the same room where you have to hear a bunch of gossip, a bunch of slander, a lot of complaining about other people. They do it all day long, every day. But that doesn't mean that you have to chime in and participate, give your opinion and your of that person that they're gossiping about. And it doesn't mean that you should take it home with you and bring it into your house and stink up the place with all that stuff that you had to step in out there in the world. Just leave it out there. Amen. I live in this world. You live in this world. It goes with the territory. If I'm going to work with God's people, if I'm going to work among the people that God wants to reach, I can't help it. There is going to be stuff that hits my ears, but I don't have to bring it into my heart and smell it all day and all night. Are you with me? Amen. Okay, come back with me to Psalm number 38. Psalm 38. Now we'll look at the second half of those two verses we looked at earlier. Verse 13. And I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. And verse 14. In whose mouth are no reproofs. He didn't have to fire back. He didn't have to get the last word in. He didn't have to respond in kind. No, he took it and he kept his mouth shut. All right, now let me just run four verses here with you, and then we'll be through for today. And these verses we're going to look at, they're about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our example, isn't he? So let's look at how he dealt with some things. First of all, in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 7. Isaiah 53 and verse number 7. And if we could get this, it would change our lives, change our relationships one with another. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, this is the Lord Jesus Christ on trial. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Now, if anybody ever had the right to speak out and say he was getting bad treatment, if anybody ever had a right to speak out and say, you've got no right to say that about me, you're wrong, you're absolutely wrong. It was the Lord Jesus Christ had that right. But he took it, he just took it, and he counted it all joy. He counted it the Father's will, and he took it. Amen. Look in Matthew chapter 27, a New Testament reference. Jesus Christ on trial, Matthew chapter 27, verse number 12. Matthew 27, 12. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now, sure, Jesus, he answered the questions, he answered the challenges, but when it came to the accusations, when it came to the slanders, when it came to the lies, Jesus did not give them the joy and the benefit of even a response. Not one word in response to his accusers, not one word to those that laid charges against him, not one word to them that lied about him. He just took it for the glory of God, for the glory of God. That's important. We need to remember that. Remember, everything that comes out of this mouth ought to glorify God. 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter number 2. You say, Brother Bob, you don't know some of the people who talk about me. They're really people I love. Okay, do you love them enough to lay down your life for them? See, Jesus loved those people that were saying those things about him more than you or I love our own mother. Amen. And he took it. He took it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now, what was included in Jesus bearing my sins in his body on the cross? Well, he bore my sin of slander. He bore my sin of griping. He bore my sin of gossip. He bore my sin of tale-bearing. He bore my sin of criticizing. He took it all out there to the cross. And he says, now that I've taken your sin away, I want you to live in my righteousness. Here's the path that I've laid out for you. When they speak evil of you, you don't respond in kind. Don't do the same. Don't use your mouth the same way they used it towards you. When they revile you, when they accuse you, when they condemn you, when they threaten you, don't give them the same in return. Just commit yourself to the Father in heaven and do right. Amen. Let's finish up with this. Psalm 119. Here's the question. Do I believe that? Do I believe that it is God's will for me to let it go in one ear and out the other? Do I believe that it is God's will for me to continue to love even when I'm treated in an unlovely fashion? Do I believe what the Bible says, that I'm guilty of the very same things and I got no business being too hard on somebody else? Do I believe that? Okay, if I believe that, then this what we're going to read, Psalm 119, this is going to be the truth. Okay, Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, here's the two Christians. They're both saved. They're both Christians. They're both on their way to heaven. One says, "Did you hear what that man said about me? He's a sinner. He was wrong. Oh, I'm offended." And you may have every right to be offended. And he is a sinner. And he was wrong. And he did say something that was offensive. Well, here's the other Christian. And they say, "You know, God's word says I'm just like that. God's word says I ought to follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to take that personally and allow that to be an offense. I love God, and I want to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to continue to love that brother, love that sister." Now, like I said, they're both saved. One loves God's words, though, and one doesn't. One is offended, the other is not. Now, there's not one of us here today that has not been offended at some time or another. I'm certain of that. You've been offended by somebody who said something about you. And I have too. Okay? And if you haven't, I want to stand behind you at the judgment seat of Christ and find out if you're telling the truth, because I don't believe you. I think you have been offended. But the more I love this word of God, and the more I allow God's word to guide me so that I'm walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, the less I'm going to find myself offended by the actions of my fellow saved sinners. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you have given us instruction and warning about this tongue that we have and the problems we have with it. Lord, it is unruly, and you've told us it's going to cause us problems, and we thank you, Lord, for the heads up on that, but help us, Lord, to love your words, love your commandments, believe your Bible and its instructions there that are there to help us to live a righteous life, to do the right things, to look at the Lord Jesus Christ and his example and do likewise. Lord, because we won't, if we don't love your word, we won't do it, we won't obey. And we'll slip and we'll find ourselves offended and looking for some other place to be received. And we're going to find ourselves in a big mess, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to immediately shoot back our thoughts opinions, hurtful words, things like that, Lord, that are just going to cause problems in our relationships. Lord, teach us, continue to teach us and to reprimand us where it's needed, that we might be able, by our lives, by our responses to others and the way they treat us, to be able to glorify you with the things that we use this tongue for, that we might use this tongue to bless and not curse. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.